Express yourself.
And good morning. This is Friday Morning Talk Line. This is Joe Moses. I am solo today. So again, this is Friday Morning Talk Line. Good morning to everyone. Yeah, and if you'd like to give us a call, the phone numbers here are 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954, or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org. Good morning, everyone. Again, this is Friday Morning Talk Line, where the show is driven by you, the callers. And yes, we'd love to hear what you have to say and what's on your mind. We had a little bit of technical difficulties there, but we're back on air, so... Okay, Wilson. Good morning, Wilson. Hello?
Yeah, it's so nice out today. Can you hear me?
You're live and in color.
Okay. It's been a while since I heard anything about that flight school. Yeah, I drove by there and peeked at the building, and I said, "Oh, nice building. Holy cow, they even have a nice bus. Holy cow, the water tank supply or whatever it is all leaking. Who's maintaining this building?" And anyway, you know, ABCP, they pretended to have a flight school, and they got funding from somewhere. People are just forgetting about it, like they're not going to do anything about it, you know, embezzlement of funds or mismanagement of funds. And yeah, something should happen. I mean, in the real world, somebody would be held up in court somewhere saying, "Hey, you're responsible for this money. Where is it? We need it back. It's funding for the benefit of the people in the Delta, and it didn't benefit nobody." So anyway, police department, state troopers, headlights, you know, pull people over with one headlight, especially cabs. Other than that, I love the police department. Okay, bye.
Bye. That was Wilson. And he made some comments regarding the flight school that used to operate. They also built the building for a mechanic school, but I have no idea what happened to either or both of those entities, which was run and operated by ABCP. Again, this is Friday Morning Talk Line. This is Joe Moses. You'd like to give me a call here, 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954, or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org. Okay. Good morning, Stephen. Hello?
Yeah, good morning, Joe Moses.
Good morning.
Stephen Alexis from Nebraska.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I just want to thank Wilson from beautiful downtown Bethel for bringing up the AVCP situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to, I think we need to get a third party investigation on that corporation, non-profit, because, you know, I've heard from somebody that they've, when a tribe wanted to go on their own,
mm-hmm.
they threatened that village that they won't provide services to them.
Mm-hmm.
Here they're mandated to provide those services. What employee threatens a village that wants to go out on their own? They should be advocating for that. Yeah, go on your own. You've been with us 20 years. Have them try. It doesn't hurt to try contracting on your own.
Mm-hmm.
The Native community's been doing it for years.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been on their own. You know, AVCP probably feels threatened when the tribe wants to pull out of AVCP. And when they threaten the tribe that they're not going to provide services, it's not right. That's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
When I was employed for AVCP, I traveled to many of these villages, and we tried to teach them the ends. And when did AVCP really go out to a village and provide services for you guys, provide those tribal, you know, services, train you guys, try to teach you guys the end of BIAs, the ins and outs. Ask yourself that, and don't feel threatened from me, Wisip. If you want to go it on your own, call BIA and ask how to do it. They'll do it, and they'll teach you guys. So my 3 minutes might be up.
Okay, Stephen, thank you.
Thanks, bro.
Yep. Bye. Okay, Mark. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Joe.
How you doing?
Pretty well. Hopefully people, especially people who are living up in housing, noted the passing of Dan Foskey this week. He was the former director of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation and was the president of the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation. Dan, when he ran AHFC for quite a number of years, and really did a lot for low-income housing here in Bethel. The remodeling of all the what it looked like Bartlett houses up there in housing into those two stories. The replacement was a project AHFC did. Under his leadership, AHFC actually contributed a lot of cash to the state budget for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope people will remember him in a good light. He was really a great Alaskan and did a lot for our community and a lot of communities around the state. I was kind of disappointed at the very short coverage that his passing away got in the paper. And the other comment I have is, whoever killed one musk ox and left another one crippled up, you know who you are, and I sure hope all the rest of us find out who you are, too. This attitude that, and it's happened, you know, it happened up at the Volcano Mountains a few years ago, it happened across the river from Bethel, now it's happened upriver a little ways. People see muskox, and I guess they think they're just some kind of fair game. And it's really about the stupidest thing anybody can do is to shoot them. Those animals are trying to get it, and the wood bison down by Quinnahock. You know, these animals are trying to get established in here. There are not as many of them as there are moose. Yeah, people were poaching moose a few years ago during the closures, and that wasn't good either. But musk ox, wood bison, they don't reproduce as quickly as moose do, but once they get established, they really do take off in their numbers. So, once again, whoever it was that killed one musk ox and left the other one crippled and dying and had to get put down, you know who you are, and I sure hope the rest of us find out who you are too.
Hey, you know, Mark, that musk ox, I understand it was a small caliber too, and that's just so annoying and disrespectful for an animal that's just got here and trying to grow and multiply. And you know, at the rate they're poaching them, killing them for no reason whatsoever.
There have been muskox on the mainland. There have been muskox on the mainland from the Ashkenaz Mountains down to here for many years,
mm-hmm.
and they just have not had a chance to get settled in. Somebody always says, "Oh, look at that! I wonder what that is. I should shoot at it," and you know, they're gone.
Yeah.
You know, we could have, by now, given the number of muskox that have been wandering around, you know, we could have not huntable numbers, but we would have some good established numbers by now. And at the rate things are going, it's never going to happen.
Yeah. Well, so
I'm saying this because I mean, muskox is yummy, and Kibbutt makes nice hats.
Yep. On another note, put on your hat for the board for the marijuana. Is that you're on the marijuana board, right?
Well, I call it the DOPE board. Yes, I'm the rural member of the Alaska Marijuana Control Board.
So where are we at and how are things going? And is things moving forward as planned, or is there things not happening the way it should be, or it just depends on the circumstances?
You know, we had a meeting. I just came back from a meeting, two-day meeting down in Anchorage, and we approved a whole bunch of licenses. The two big issues that are kind of out there, the first one, and we're going to have a meeting in May, people are very concerned about supply. Okay, there's nobody, it seems, is able to keep their stores open 7 days a week. There's stores in Anchorage that are only open 3 days a week, just because of supply from the cultivators. We've got quite a few cultivating licenses. So there was some demand, with a small d, demand from the industry that we hurry up and approve some outdoor cultivation licenses. And we're going to do that in May. We're going to have a bunch of licenses come in front of us, and hopefully, you know, they'll get approved, and people will be able to do some outdoor cultivation, which is faster and cheaper than doing it inside, and provide some, you know, fairly substantial supply to the retailers, especially in anticipation of the tourism industry. The other issue that's in front of us is the one for what we call on-site consumption, which would mean you could go into a marijuana store and you could go into the consumption area, a separate room, and you could purchase marijuana to consume, however that would happen, whether it's a brownie or whether it's a joint, you know. And there are a lot of factors surrounding that. I mean, it's indoor smoke. There are local laws about smoke-free workplaces in a lot of communities. There are other communities that don't have them. There are people who are begging us to do it because supposedly 10% of the million cruise ship passengers that come to Alaska every year are looking for marijuana, you know? And, of course, if that's true, then that's a pretty astounding figure. So elements of the industry really would like to have on-site consumption, but there are, you know, a number of forces involved in that debate. But otherwise, you know, nobody's complaining about the speed that we are issuing licenses, the speed that the department staff is working at to, you know, once we approve a license, to finally get the thing signed and in the hands of the licensee. I think that things are moving pretty smoothly.
Okay, great. Mark, every time you do go to one of those meetings, when you get back, give us a brief update. That would be greatly appreciated.
That's basically the story there. I haven't seen any applications from, there was talk about an application from Bethel, maybe one from Antioch. I haven't seen any of that. You know, we haven't seen, I think we might have done one for Nome a few meetings ago. But supply is really the issue. And, you know, if somebody in our region is interested in joining the industry, my suggestion would be apply for a cultivation license first, because if you get a retail license, you can have an empty store.
Yeah.
The secret is going to be to have some cultivation going on here in Bethel or in the region. Somebody could be doing it in another community, and he'd bring it down by Snowville, perfectly legal. And you're not fighting the FAA or anything, you know, if that fight starts. So we definitely need a cultivation license or two out here, and then the natural evolution would be to get a retail license after that. So.
Okay, Mark, thank you very much.
Thanks, John. Thanks.
Bye. John T., good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to say about that, pot, you know, ice classic pot down in the river.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seems like it's in the wrong place. You know why?
Why?
Last year, while it was still standing, some people from upriver, they were already boating toward Bethel.
Uh-huh.
And then next thing, next came around the bus gap, mm-hmm. and they were boating to Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
So the trap pot was still standing. And the next thing, the trap gap people were boating to Bethel. Well, that tripod was still standing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're going up and down, Bethel and stuff like that, running around. And that's why I'm saying maybe they should move that tripod elsewhere, you know. Be better if it's be put up in front of that little camp, you know, that one in front of it.
Well,
I'm afraid that bars had blew up one time, you know.
Yeah.
In that area, you know, that one channel right there.
Well, the reason why...
Okay, good morning.
I was going to tell you the reason why it's there is because of that building has the clock to trip.
Well, there's the wire that goes mile and mile and mile. So, stuff like that. Okay, good morning.
Good morning. Again, this is Friday Morning Talk Line. The phone lines are open. Did we have an email? Okay, let's see. This is an anonymous email. Let's see here. Sorry for my poor vision. But if anyone else concerned on the LKSD plan to replace the Kilbuck building, it is estimated to be $51 million for a new school to be placed on the current BRHS baseball field along with diesel generators to power the new building. There are also funds for a new football field somewhere. This cost does not include cleanup of the Kilbuck site or the replacement of the Kuskokwim Learning Academy by entering into the long-term lease of a building to be constructed at the Ute... How do you say that? Litnauvat campus, or the need to improve the roads through the campus and along the Ridgecrest Drive. LKSD already purchased two buildings for the Ute campus and now seems to be spending additional funding by entering into a long-term lease for another new building. According to LKSD, Kilbuck building was underinsured. The state of Alaska already replaced the Kilbuck building once when LKSD built Gladys Chung, which included space for Ayaplun students. Where is all the money coming from, and at what point is the desire of the superintendent, assistant superintendent, and the president placing all the other schools and all the other students in the district for financial harm's way? Where are the other board members and news reporters and the public asking questions on how all this is going to be funded? That was an anonymous email. We got a phone call? Okay, good morning, Renee. Hello?
Hello.
You're live and in color.
Okay, this is Renee over at the Cultural Center. And I've got a couple of things to chat about. The first one is that we finished our Best in the West small business competition, and we have 12 winners this year. They include Laura Carr, Carolyn Hessler, Marlena Demers, Hannah Howell, Kate McWilliams, Z. Hasty, Christina Nesnoyers, Gail Armstrong, David Beans, Leslie Bohines, Bill Howell, Josh Howell. And just as a little update on that, we started in 2009, and we've awarded out to starting up small businesses over $200,000, and we've had 57 winners. So we'll start again next year in December, I mean the end of this year. For those of you who have business ideas, you can come see me and we can start working on it now, but the competition for next year will start in December. So that's congratulations to those winners. We'll have a big celebration on May 1st here at the Cultural Center, a community celebration honoring them and other past winners, a luncheon. So come on May 1st. That's a Monday. On April 21st, we're going to have Bethel Bowls. We have about close to 200 bowls that the community members have made, and they're gorgeous. We're going to have donations of soup and chili. So on April 21st, that's a Friday, come over to the Cultural Center at 6 o'clock, buy a bowl, get some soup. We're also going to have a movie that starts at 6:30, so you can have dinner and a movie. And it'll be a good time. If you have any questions about that, you can call me here at the Cultural Center at 543-4538. On April 22nd, we have a Saturday market, so put that on your calendar. We changed the date in May. So our new date for May Saturday market is May 20th. May 20th, so that's a new date. Everybody should mark their calendar on that. The last thing I want to mention is that we have just about finalized our summer youth camps for those parents who have kids anywhere between the age of 6 and 14, somewhere in there. We'll have different events. We have volleyball camp. We have a creative clay camp, which is making things out of a polymer clay. We have two art camps. We have a creative writing camp. We're going to have a native arts class, and I'm looking for a dance instructor for that native arts class. So if there's anyone out there who knows how to dance and likes working with young kids and teaching them how to dance, call me. Call Renee at 543-4538. And I think that takes care of everything happening over here at the Cultural Center for right now.
How's things going at the new library?
Well, it is just gorgeous in there, and it's busy, it's nicely organized, it stays open to 7 now, the new hours are till 7, so it's really quite nice. If you haven't come by, you should come by and see the new library.
Okay, how's that, is that, that other place, what's that called, Native Crafts still open?
The gift shop?
The
gift shop is open Tuesday through Saturday from noon to 4 p.m. It's open every day. Got lots of good things in there. The museum is also open from 12 to 4 Tuesday through maybe Saturday. Friday for sure. So you can get a lot of stuff done when you come over here to the Cultural Center.
And does the library still provide computers?
Yes. We have a bank of about, I think, 10.
Wow.
10 computers that you can check, you could sign up for. I think you get an hour's use.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to share it because lots of people need to use them. So, yeah.
That is, compared to how many they had before, that is a lot of computers.
I think it's 10, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
So how's the, if I, you don't mind me asking, how's the family doing?
My family's doing fine.
Good.
We're all healthy, except I got a little bit of a cold, which is maybe why my voice sounds a little different. But
welcome to the club.
Yeah, I think everybody's got a cold this time of year.
Hey, how's the fundraising going for that? Your husband's volunteer fire department for the new ambulance. Do you know?
I'm glad you brought that up because the Bethel Bowls that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
All of that money is going to the Medic 6. Ambulance. I think they're doing pretty darn good. I think they're now raising money for special equipment that they want in it. So they've gotten some really nice big donations from different people, and we're just trying to supplement anything that's left that they still need to get.
Maybe you could give your husband a call and nudge him and tell him to give us an update.
Well, I would, but he was just here, and he's driving his car, so I doubt that he's going to call too soon.
Well, you could tell him to call.
Yeah, well, maybe Bill Howell's listening.
Or somebody's listening, I hope.
Yeah, one of the firemen.
Yep. Well, Renee, thank you, and appreciate the call.
You betcha. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. Phone lines are open. Email's open. Phone number's here to give us a call, or 543-5985, 543-2756. 1-800-995-8954, or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org. Some of the callers that called, like Mark, regarding the muskox, you know. I mean, come on, people. Let's get real here. There was no need for that. It was uncalled for. And that is total disrespect for something that you're not going to eat, cut clean, and give to people that need it. But, you know, it's sad. And I'm sure somebody knows something out there. I hope we find who this person was and catch this person and prosecute them to the full of extent of the law. Good morning, Howard.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Yourself?
Oh, fine. About those muskox.
Uh-huh.
You know, they have local law enforcement here in Bethel. And in the villages, you know, they have village policemen there.
Mm-hmm.
is that one of their duties to check to see if anybody's shooting game out of season?
That would fall under either Fish and Wildlife Service or Alaska Department of Fish and Game, depending on what lands it's on. Like, the feds would do the fed part, and the state would do the state part.
Right.
And then,
right.
You know, I mean...
I mean, you know, there's so much land came around here.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be wiser just to hire people in every village in a position and get rid of the centralized Bethel Fish and Wildlife, the Fish and Game, you know? Because they can't watch everything out there in the tundra, you know.
Yeah,
they can't. They can't. Even the troopers can't even keep up on top with their what they're supposed to be doing. They, mm-hmm. And you think they'll ever find out who shot that? Those two caribou. I mean, muskox. Probably nobody. Nobody they'll find nobody. You know.
Yeah.
So you know, I mean, not unless somebody you know says I know who did it, you know.
Somebody knows something out there. It's just a matter of them coming forward or telling on that person.
How many of them will do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know, like I said, if they'd hire, you know, individuals rather just local Bethel all the time, you know, it's never going to happen. You know, they'll never do the job that they're supposed to do. You know.
Uh-huh.
And on another subject, you know, I hear a lot of news, and I don't know if this, well, it was pretty true gossip about young people dying left and right, you know,
mm-hmm.
from drinking. And it's sad, it's bum. It's just, in the old days, they drank because they overindulged, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And here, they got this one liquor called Monarch, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's dark and it's white, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Many people say it's just like having regular alcohol, rubbing alcohol, added with sugar, and, you know, and that gives you the desire they want, you know.
Wow.
And I don't think they're addicted.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's their desire for what they want.
Yeah.
They want that high.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could drink too much of that,
mm-hmm.
sugar's going to catch up with you, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And sure, probably alcohol will too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I wish some big entity here would do a etiquette on what kind of liquor and how much, you know, you should drink. Because they get cases and cases of that out here.
Mm-hmm.
And how many young people are drinking that? And they can't
do it in moderation.
Yeah, uh-huh. And it's just so much. And I hear of even villages, people are passing because of they're drinking this really cheap Monarch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sugar and some kind of rubbing alcohol, you know. And it's not AIDS. You don't have people dying in the old days because of cheap liquor. You're drinking mm-hmm. because they're drinking too much of it and mm-hmm. didn't stop, you know.
Yeah.
And here, now, people are doing the same thing, but they're doing it with the cheaper stuff.
Yep.
And you didn't have, just between the old days and now, a lot of people were losing their mind or couldn't take care of themselves because they were smoking pot that was laced with other stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, you know, I need some kind of control out here, but not to stop it.
Yeah. Okay, Howard.
Yes.
I do have some callers coming in.
Okay, I just wanted to say that, and that's it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
I'd like to remind everybody, which I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show, which is my fault, there's a three-minute rule, so do your best to keep it up to 3 minutes. Okay, Andy, good morning, Andy.
How's it going there, Joe?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
I'm doing all right. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the muskox thing. I think this is an important issue for Bethel, and what really bugs me is that
I don't mean to stop you, Andy, but you should give your last name.
Oh, this is Andy Axel. Yeah,
sure. I know who you are, but not everybody knows you.
Gotcha, yeah. I'm actually listening from my office in Anchorage right now, and I listen on streaming and call in when I can. But last week I had family out there behind the landfill on Snogo, and they reported back, there's a bunch of muskox out here, and I thought that was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really sad is my second thought was, I wonder how long it's going to be until somebody goes out there and shoots one or two of them.
Yeah.
That was like the second thing that I thought. And that's really tragic, but that's like, history has shown us that when those critters come around the lower Kuskokwim there, they don't last very long because people are trigger happy and get out there and do dumb things.
Yeah, being stupid. So,
yeah, and the second thing that I wanted to say, and you kind of brought this up, is that it's not like there's just the person or group of people that shot the muskox that know about it. Somebody else knows, too. You know when your family members are out hunting with 22s, and if they're on Snogo or on four-wheeler, somebody else knows, and the people that know and aren't relaying this information to the authorities are no better than the people that shot the muskox.
Correct.
And that is the absolute truth.
Yeah.
And so if you're covering for your family or your cousin or your buddy who you are suspicious of having done this terrible thing, you're the same as they are. And I want that to be shared. So that's all I got to say about it. It's a really sad thing when these animals come around, and like Mark said, if we gave them a chance, they would get a foothold, and they would, you know, flourish. But that's on us. We have to allow that to happen. So thanks for talking today, and I'll chat at you later. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. Okay. Allison or Alicia? Hello?
Hello?
Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi. This is Alyssa Rogers with the Red Cell Mute Native Council, and I had a few messages to send out to everybody out on listening in on Squawk Line. ONC will be hosting a Red Devil Mine update for the U.S. Department of Interior Bureau of Lands Management. We will be starting on June 6, 2017 at 9 a.m. at the ONC Multipurpose Building. And ONC is opening a bid for Native American Land Environmental Mitigation Program to clean up the old military site at BIA and Old Bethel Airport. Our project estimated is $230,000 for the first year. Please send bids to Alyssa Nadine Rogers, Department of Defense, NALEM Project Manager at ONC Office, email ajoseph@nativecouncil.org. Also, ONC is collecting resolutions for villages' decisions about the Dolman Creek gold mine. Whether you are a tribal government, is in opposition, approval, or neutral, please send your resolutions to Alyssa Rogers at Browns Field Coordinator at ajosephnativecouncil.org. We also have a Office of Subsistence Management Fisheries Temporary Special Action Request, FSA 17-03 and FSA 17-04. It will be held at the Cultural Center April 18th from 6 o'clock to 8 p.m. If you can make it, there is a teleconference line at 1-888-455-5897. We do have a passcode of 334-4290. If you need more information, please get a hold of me, Alyssa Rogers, at ONC Fisheries Laws and Regulatory Specialist, 907-543-2608 for more information. And that's all. All right, you guys have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Before we take this next call, I'm going to make a quick announcement here. KYK is conducting its weekly call-in show to connect with your state legislators. Today, call in with questions and comments on Representative Zach Fansler during our live call-in show from 3:15 to 4. So, you would like to call in today to talk to Zach? You could call today from 3:15 to 4 p.m. Okay, we do have some calls lined up. I'm going to go to Shaddy. Good morning.
Hey, this is Shaddy Robbie from the YK Fitness Center. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing okay, and yourself? You're staying busy, I hope.
I'm staying busy, doing very well. Enjoying the warm weather as well.
Well, don't jinx us now, so keep the weather the way it is.
I'm with you.
Okay.
Okay, so just calling to give my weekly announcement. I think I've missed a few weeks, so just bringing everybody up to speed. We're still doing Half Price Weekend, so this includes tonight, Saturday, and Sunday. Again, and this is funded by the YK Lifesavers organization, so they agree to pay for half the cost of all admissions to the pool throughout the weekend. By the same token, if anybody can pay their own way through, we're going to start encouraging that because the YK Lifesavers organization fund is depleted. So if you can pay your own way in on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're all for that. If you can't, we're all for that as well. So we just want to improve our participation in the facility. We're going to be doing a Easter hunt event on April 16th. So on the Sunday, Easter Sunday, we're going to have a large event, an Easter egg hunt. If anybody is looking to have some fun, get together with family and friends, come on over to the facility. That's going to start at 5:30. And we're going to have some swimming contests and just some fun little special event games. We're going to be starting additional classes, so a condensed class scheduled next week. So just watch our Facebook and our website. And we're still looking for personal trainers. So if anybody out there is personal training certified, please contact our facility, and we'll get you hired and started. And that's it today, Joe.
You going to be wearing your bunny suit?
If it gets in from Amazon. I ordered it a few weeks ago. I don't know if it's going to get here on time.
Hey, somebody got a pick on you.
Somebody got a what?
Pick on you. You're a young buck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, thanks for the update.
All right, Joe. Take care, man. Please, have a good weekend.
Yeah, please call weekly if you can.
I will.
Thank you. John Carter. Hello.
Yes, good morning. This is Michael John. This is John Carter. I'm calling from East. Hello.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I'd like to talk about something. The last caller who spoke about on the subject of, I think maybe it was last week, mentioned about medications prescribed at the hospital there are not up to par. You know, Office of Drug Administration. That is not really true. Due to the education materials and the aftercare, those must be read by the receiver. In other words, if you go to the hospital, seen by a doctor, and after the aftercare education materials are given to you. Those must be read by the patient after the provider handed them to you. When the session is done or something, or there are discharge papers. Something happened to me last week when I was there at the house last week. After the session was done, the provider asked me if I had any questions, and I said no. After I had done you know, asking questions. Otherwise, it needs something that it needed to follow. You need to ask the provider what the side effects are. And if you had been getting those, even the medications were taken before, otherwise you're going to start thinking of self-conception. The other one is cholesterol. People, this is something people must watch out for. Some people think there are two. The body makes through the liver, and the intake. The other one is intake. The body makes its own cholesterol, and the stuff we eat adds it up to the point of building plaque on the blood vessels. Something people must watch out for carefully, very carefully, on what they eat. Stuff that we must eat. Stuff that not to be eaten. Thank you very much.
Okay. Good morning, Herman.
Morning, Bill.
How's everything upriver?
Oh, it looks pretty nice. Things are melting pretty fast up here. Might be interesting to see that the ice is kind of thick, so who knows how the breakup will be. It all depends on how it melts. You know, so far it's doing good, you know, warm day and it's cold at night.
How thick is your ice up there? Ours down here went from 4 to 5 feet.
Some guys were at that PC about 4 feet, 4.5 feet, somewhere around there. But with the warm weather, it's not that it finished underneath. So, at least we have snow, but for berries and stuff. Reed was calling me about a permanent fund, and a lot of people don't know, but yesterday the Senate and they voted to back to restore the rest of our permanent fund. And they voted to continue to use, to restructure the permanent fund so they could use more, even more of it. And they're proposing other things. But they say they cut the budget, but on paper it's not really, they never really cut it. And there was all the other ways they could use without taking people's money, permanent fund away from us, you know. And people got cell phones, you know. Go on your cell phone, go to Facebook, go to www.facebook.com/savethePFD, what you do is, once you're there, you go to message, and you message them to find out who in your area is taking signatures to recall this governor for what the lies, what he's telling us, and what how he got people elected pretending to be saying they wouldn't touch a permanent fund too. They're saying they're Republicans, but once they got elected, three of them turn over, be Democrats, and they, the reason why it's so wrong is the governor, he got elected by telling us he wouldn't touch a permanent fund. So that's when he got elected, he had his people tell us, because of what you got, because you don't take it all. And now they're telling us, we got to spend it for you to save it for you. You know, they must think we're pretty stupid. And, the only way to do it is recall the governor. That's the only way to stop them. But there's going to be a thing in June where the Supreme Court, but people got to get involved. We should have had a chance to vote on it. That took $176 million out of our budget, you know, our state budget, and they can't keep lying to us, you know. The scripture says, you know, when people are poor, you know, you help them, and it's not right. But anyhow, go to this place, you know. Take your other people who need money, who need that permanent more than Lyman and Pete Kelly and them guys, you know. And ask that guy too. You don't even care about people who the 12,000 that go below the poverty level now because of that. Below the poverty level means they're living poor. It's dumb to have that enough money to buy clothes for your kids or food or heating food, you know. And now they're going to put energy bill. If they had given us that money, that would be our energy pay for everything to buy our heating food. But people are going to speak out and go to their place and recall this governor. And those are my comments, Jojo. Have a nice day.
Thank you. Again, the phone number is here to give us a call, or 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954, or you could always email us at radio@kyq.org. Phone lines are open, emails open. Again, KYK is continuing its weekly call-in show to connect with your state legislators. Today, call in with your questions, comments for Representative Zach Fansler during the live call-in show from 3:15 p.m. to 4 p.m. today. So, if you would like to talk and ask Zach more questions regarding what's happening in Juneau and how it's affecting our state and funding and all this other jazz, give him a call. Okay, good morning, Bob. Hello.
Hey, Joe.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing fine, Joe. I've got some good news and some bad news.
Well, I hope the good news is you got donuts with that coffee. I'm going to help you drink.
Well, come on over. We'll round up something. We'll get some hardtack out or something. And we got free water over here.
Uh-oh.
In fact, I had some free water in my water room when they overfilled my tank the other week, but that's another issue.
Okay, well, welcome to the club.
Okay.
What's anyway, on your mind?
The good news is that the city port has so much money that they can spend $1.6 million on a 2,000-square-foot office. You know, a 2,000-square-foot office is a kind of a modest house out here, a decent-sized house. So $1.6 million, so that's the good news, that they have that much money. The bad news is the city council is so reckless that they actually voted to spend that kind of money on a port office.
Wow, that sounds like a disco hall to me.
Sounds like something. I would think that you'd get more than a 2,000-square-foot building. But the railing alone is $60,000 on it.
Wow.
So we got a really good building coming on. This should last through nuclear war, I think.
So you can go try ram the building. You're not going to get through, are you?
I guess not. You know, they're probably going to have security system and metal detectors and all that stuff. But anyway, that's the state of the city finances, so that's encouraging that we have that kind of money to throw around. And the Muskox, you know, I'll join the chorus, but, you know, I think that I think we should be looking at the sport hunters who come out here because they get blamed for everything.
Well, I'm glad you're not a sport hunter.
I'm not.
I'd follow you and shoot you, not you, but shoot behind you so you could your hair will grow faster.
Well, I'd welcome that if it would turn it back to brown.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Anyway.
Don't tell your wife that. She might believe you.
Well, she might, and she can shoot, too.
Oh, my God. You're in trouble, Bob.
Yeah. Anyway, it's good to talk to you. I hope they catch these rascals. And people really need to bring up I'm assuming they're young people, but...
Well, you know...
They need to sober up and bring these kids up so they have some respect for animals.
Well, you know, Bob, when we were young, we went out, you know, we went out hunting, and our parents told us before you go hunting, don't take more than you need.
Uh-huh.
Don't disrespect the animal.
Right.
If it's not bothering you, don't bother it. And you'll live a long, prosperous life if you respect the land that's given to you with the animals that come with it.
Yeah. Well, that's total accuracy. And particularly when you have an animal that's been wounded and they leave it there wounded. I mean, that's just inexcusable. So,
yeah. And they shot the poor eye out of the muskox. That's...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, they had to dispatch that, and they left the meat and all of that stuff. And like I said, you know, the what they call the sport hunters, I think everyone pretty much in Alaska is a subsistence hunter in that they eat what they don't come out here to kill things and leave the meat, almost anyone. But
no, if they're sport hunters, you know, they have a permit and they get their animal and take it home. Otherwise, they won't be able to hunt no more.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, there's a tendency to blame other people, but we got to look around here, and it's our own people that are doing this, and we could have these animals prosper and have, you know, a lot more hunting in the future if these individuals would just leave things alone. So
yeah,
yeah. Anyway, it's good to talk to you, and so take care. And
before
you know,
you go, Bob, what do you think about the budget that they just approved for the state of Alaska?
Well, they're still. I mean, the Senate has one budget, and the House has another, and the House wants an income tax, and I we're going to have taxes eventually, but I think we need to get adequate money or justifiable return for our oil. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
So we need to address that first.
Thanks to Parnell.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is that, you know, if you think that the state can run without some of the permanent fund earnings, well, come up with your budget. You know, I hear that all the time. So tell us how that would work, because there's no way that the state has the kind of money to run all the things that we demand without using some of the permanent fund earnings that I've seen. So the people who keep yelling about this and, you know, stealing our permanent fund, okay, give us your budget. Show us how that would work,
mm-hmm.
You know? You know, maybe if every parent in Antioch would homeschool their kids, then we can give them their full permanent fund dividends. But, you know, when you run schools and all these other things, it costs money, and that doesn't come out of the atmosphere. It has to come from someplace.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my take. So I don't know. I just hope they get this thing resolved without going into July and shutting down the government as they threatened to do a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Next election, I hope you run for governor. You got my vote.
Hey, I'm on my way. 1-0.
Okay, Bob.
Take care.
Okay, phone lines are open. The phone number's here to give us a call are 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954, or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org. Yeah, it's pretty interesting how there's always two sides to every story. Sounds like they're debating on the budget and who's going to win what side and who's got the most votes and so forth. And, you know, seem like all our people that are in charge play this cat and mouse game. Either you're with us, which are Republicans, or Democrats. You know, they need to throw all this politics out the window and be one entity. We've got a return caller. Good morning, Herman. Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air?
Yeah, I just got a call back on poor old Bob. Do you want to give him the last word? You know, I'm glad he cared about us who's up here in Antioch and everything like that, you know, but that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about other people who need the permanent fund and how we're lied to. It's more than just the schools. You know, the state, before the permanent fund, they used to have income tax, and they used to pay like $10 school tax, you know, from our tax fund. We got along fine, but right now the budget is so bloated, you know, like the University of Alaska and things like that. The budget is so expensive, you know, it's a big part of the state's budget. And it's the state's responsibility, not no borough, to provide these things, you know. And to me, it's wrong to say that, you know, that pipeline is going to be full again with all these new oil discoveries. And if they build that gas pipeline, not the way this governor is trying to do, you know, there'll be another flip the state's coffers again. But taking money away from people who really need it, and that's not even the way they're designed to do, you know. If they create cheaper energy out here, like what Daniel was saying, you know, that'll create industry out here, that'll create jobs for our people. And if they have income tax, you know, sure, that'll be more money that they could get for the state, you know. Because right now, taking away our dividend, that's a flat tax on everybody, even people who can't. kind of informs you need it the most, you know. Like the people who, like, they could have got, like, $20,000. That's more than half of their annual income. That's how poor they are, you know. Think of the people, you know, with their income tax, people who come in from outside and work and go back. They never pay for their fire services, the roads. They pay for that with their income tax, you know. And people who couldn't afford it, they wouldn't mind paying income tax. So I kind of think there's something with Bob thinking misunderstanding of what I'm trying to say, you know. It's not by their permanent fund, it's not their piggy bank. Other states, they get by fine without permanent, dropping permanent fund monies, you know. What the governor, he's for, like, Medicaid expansion, but that's bankrupting states. They can't afford that, and that's what company want to try to use some of that permanent fund money. And he want to move those hearings here, you know, the things like that, different programs. They didn't affect the budget. They take our money, like it's their piggy bank. So don't attack me, Bob, you know. I'm trying to help the people. That's my comms addict, if that's what I was trying to say, okay? We don't like being lied to. The politicians, they should be honest with us, you know. Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, the phone number, sure to give us a call, are 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954, or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org. You know, this issue with the state budget and the permanent fund, I'd rather get something than nothing at all. Before, when we paid taxes, it was great. I didn't have a problem paying state taxes. If they bring it up again, I don't mind paying state taxes. Regarding this dividend, it's only a certain amount. Even though whether they touch it or not or use it, it's really not going to matter to some people. But, you know, some people, that's their part of their annual income and where they use it to buy boats, motors, snow machines, four-wheelers, stuff they need during the seasonal changes and so forth. So, you know, it's good to a certain point, but if you keep relying on something that we think is going to be there forever, it's not going to last. Okay, I got a couple phone calls. Good morning, Tony. Good morning. Hello. You're on the air.
Yes. Good morning. This past Monday, right after July, I believe, I was heading up to Swanson's, and something caught my eye. It looked like that was a floating leaf. It turned out to be a butterfly. Are they a little curly, or?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Butterfly.
I was
just wondering if they're a little too early.
It's really hard to say. It all depends on Mother Nature and how each species responds to the weather conditions. It's really hard to say.
Yeah, but it was amazing. I thought it was just a floating leaf.
Maybe that's good luck for you.
All right. You guys have a happy Friday.
You too.
Yep.
Okay, good morning, Fritz. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good. Long time no here. It's about time you called.
Uh-huh. Well, the question I had is I was getting and listening, and the port had like $1.6
million. Something like that.
And they're going to build themselves a big fancy building down there.
2,000 square feet.
Yes, and $60,000 for the railing. Now, this is what I'm wondering. So the generosity of the service people in this country and city and things and other people and things is the public paid for a new ambulance, didn't we?
Correct.
Now, is the public supposed to pay for this ambulance or is city government supposed to pay for the ambulance? I feel sorry for the people that gotten donated to the ambulance because we needed it. The ambulance goes to their house and picks them up and charges them $600 to drive them around town and they donated to buy it. When you get in here, the city got $1.6 million at the boat harbor. How come they can't buy an ambulance?
You got me. That's called politics.
Well, it's called somebody's head is someplace where they can't see the sunshine.
Thank you. I'm glad you said it instead of me.
Well, it doesn't bother me a bit. As everybody knows where I live, you want to talk to me, come on out here. But as I can't believe that, that's very unusual. Having the public pay for an ambulance, which is the city's responsibility, the port doesn't want to share their money with the rest of the city. Is the port a private entity? Is that their own personal money? I thought that money belonged to the people in this community. But evidently, as the people in charge think it's their own money. If these people can't figure out a way to get an ambulance, other than having the public pay for it, maybe we should get some new people down there. This is, I mean, to get to here, they got $1.6 million, and the public has to buy an ambulance, which is the city's responsibility. What's going on, boys and girls? Now, come on now. This isn't rocket science work. It's your responsibility, and I went down to city council quite a few years ago and told them, if you tax the people in this community, you have a responsibility to the community. Well, they tax people in this, that, and the other, and I don't think they're being very responsible when they have to have the community pay for an ambulance. We desperately need it. Do we need $60,000 worth of railing down at the port? Well, they need a bigger building to burn down, maybe. I don't know. But what you get to think about it, to have the public pay for an ambulance, and then they want to spend $1.6 million on a building for people to look out the windows and have their little thrown in, that just doesn't seem quite right.
That doesn't add up, does it?
No, it doesn't. And when people go and vote, you got to remember, you voted for these people to do this. And this is a very good example of something that's not right in government. When people have to pay for a service and the city can't do it, but yet they got $1.6 million to build a shack down at the boat harbor, I don't understand it.
Yeah, that makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, and how would you feel if you took money out of your pocket to purchase an ambulance, and then they charged you to run in it, to ride in it? Now, I can understand it's expensive to do these things. I can understand that. But when the public buys something for the public to use, how come you're charging them you know what I mean? That's like double dipping.
Yeah, that's true.
But as I mean is, if I had to donate, not to mention, that $600,000 that was donated came from a lot of nonprofits and things in town. They could have used that same money for clothing and food and things for people that need it.
Mm-hmm.
But what's more important, a big building at the port or an ambulance to save people's lives? That's the question. And the next question is, why should the public have to pay for it? That's the city's responsibility. If you people can't do your job down there, move on.
That sounds like a $1 million question to me.
$1.6 million worth. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Fritz. Okay, good morning, Ruth. You're on the air.
Hi.
Good morning.
I just wanted to tell you guys, it's really obvious all the villagers get their TSDs. That's their only, some of them, it's their only income because they don't have jobs. There's majority of the people in the villages, even in Bethel, some of them do not have jobs, and that's their only income. I know a family that uses one TSD to pay for the whole winter for ABCT house. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They paid. They just give their whole dividend to pay instead of doing every month, they do it once a year. And this year, when the governor took, let us have half of it, mm-hmm. then they're short. So yep. I really feel sorry for them.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they didn't do that. Yeah, and maybe the city's using alcohol tax to build that stuff. I don't know.
Well, whatever they're doing, that it don't sound right.
Okie dokie. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, Robert. Good morning, Robert. Hello? We lost you. Call back, please. Please call back if you're listening, Robert. Phone number's here. Give us a call, or 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954. Or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org. Phone lines are open. Email's open. Okay, hopefully that is him.
Hello. Hold on.
Good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. You know, I asked about it a couple of times on a couple of talk shows. The reason why I'm calling is because, you know, I know the city of Bethel is taxing us in various ways that I know our people have need for, such as tobacco, cigarettes, and liquor. Now, tell me, Joe, do you know, because we haven't heard from the city council, how much tax they've accumulated thus far on the alcohol tax and the cigarette and tobacco tax? And, you know, I hear them, they're going to put up a big building. What's wrong with the little building they had all down there? There was nothing wrong with that. They were doing just fine, which makes me think that's where the money's going to be put aside and used for these big stuff that we don't necessarily need. All it is a port down there to receive payments on incoming stuff and produce. You know, Joe, it puzzles me and saddens me that I heard from a councilman that the money is put aside in a bank as we speak. And I didn't get accumulated some of the total amount, but he said that's set aside right now, and they're not using it. Well, at least somebody on the council should let us know how much it is that they've accumulated already, instead of going behind everybody's back after we pay all these taxes and buy brand new big buildings that don't seem necessary. Thank you, Joe. Hey, find out from me, huh? I never hear my answers when I ask you questions.
Okay, Robert.
Okay, Joe. Bye.
Well, like Fritz, one of the callers called, people are help fundraising money to buy an ambulance. They were short. They're still raising funding to buy an ambulance, and now they're raising money to buy equipment which is needed for the ambulance. And then we come to find out they're building a $1.6 million building for the port. The railing alone is $60,000. That sounds like Fort Knox to me. It's amazing. You know, the amount of money they're collecting for tobacco tax and alcohol tax, we know it's not a small number. The number they gave us at the beginning of the year when they announced it the first time was not a small amount. So we know they're definitely making money on the taxes they're collecting. So that's very obvious. Why they're not telling us what they're collecting is beyond me, and I don't understand it. Okay, we do have a couple of callers. Good morning, Mike. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air?
This is Sam.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to say a big thank you to all the searchers from back in the Thunder Villages and New Talk and Fixit and New Nightmute for on our last search. It was a good, successful search, and my hat's off to them that get out there and walk in the storms and drive their snow machines in zero-zero weather. Thought we should mention them. It's not only Bethel that does it, but it's the whole Delta. When we need somebody, they always come up. So don't forget to mention them. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Howard. Good morning, Howard.
Yes. In the city of Bethel, there's two things that are running in the red that I hear from. The swimming pool and the bus service. Why aren't they using that tax dollars to help these guys to reroute or do something to make things or schedule things differently so that they're not running in the red all the time. And that's what I'd like to ask the company. I'm the city of Bethel.
Hey, Howard, do you remember water sewers in the red for a while?
Yeah, yes.
So, you know, I mean, and you mentioned two more departments, which we're aware of. One, the pool for sure was in the red, but that's the first time I heard about the second one that you mentioned.
Yeah, yeah, it's always been running in the red. They're making the dollars that are supposed to be running the service there. The service, you know, it. I don't know if they have mechanics or do they have maintenance people or is anybody watching this operation, you know. It's just, it's running in the red. I know it is.
Mm-hmm.
People talk about it all the time, and so why aren't they using that money that they're building that, they're trying to build a shop or office for the
port office?
Yeah, yeah, the boat harbor. They were fine. Nobody was in that little building. What's the purpose of building when nobody's going to be there, you know?
No, wait a minute. Say that again, Howard.
I said, that little office down there on the boat harbor.
Huh?
Nobody's in there. How many times I knocked on there and nobody's there, you know?
Uh-huh.
They're all having coffee someplace.
Either one too many cups or including a dozen donuts.
I agree, you know. But, and people are still using parts in the boat harbor or using boats, you know.
Well, I don't know. You remember last year or was it the year before they raised the fees for using the boat harbor?
Yes, yes.
Now, obviously, each department is responsible for funding their department when you have a resources to collect a fee for usage of some type. So I'm not sure if that $1.6 million came from the raising of the rates. But, you know, it's really, you know, when Fritz called and said people are donating money for the ambulance, and then next thing you know, you ride the ambulance, you get billed $600. That's, you know, to him, that's double jeopardy.
Yeah.
And then we got a building. You're going to build a 2,000 square foot building for $1.6 million. The railing alone, he said, is $60,000. That sounds like to me Fort Knox.
I mean, it's really, really dumb. You know, and I can't understand. The guy's not there anyway. And these workers are not there. Are they supposed to be 24 hours or are they only on call like WPD?
Uh huh.
You know?
Yeah, you know. Well, I'm going to say one thing, Howard. We got, I think, four or five seats coming up for city council. Now
I'm not into politics.
No. Like, I'm just letting you know this. We got some seats coming up, and it's time to vote for new people. Don't you?
I think we have a few that are good. We just got, you know, we get people that come in from other places that come here. And that's the whole main thing is the getting the politics somehow or another, and they use this as a start point here in Bethel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's something from Bethel.
Yeah, something to add to their resume.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Howard, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Cesare, good morning, Cesare.
Good morning. hey,
you some think in the city that, you know, it's not everything making money. City have to subsidize, like, fire station, things what they help people. Or you know, and Howard mentioned a swimming pool. You know, lots of people, he never been that swimming pool and the jacuzzi and World Cup. That thing is designed to make you better physically, to help you out with your problems, physical problems. And they did to me, and I tell everybody, that did a miracle thing. If I go to hospital, I'll be still going. That was 3 months ago. I twist my body sleeping, and I know one squashed my grandson, and he jumped to my bed, and I twist my body lower back, being gone. I can't even stand up. I roll down to the knee and to manage to go to that swimming pool. They helped me out. Take me about 1 hour to go to that jacuzzi, sitting in there with this hot jacuzzi with the big bubbles, go to the swimming for 50 minutes, come back to jacuzzi with 1 hour period, all my pain lower back vanish. This vanish like miracle. This disappear. If I go to the hospital, cost me thousands of dollars, and I'll be still going to physical therapist or chiropractor. I've been before there. Take me 3 years to fix up my back in the going to hospital. Over there was something which I can't believe it. It's like some magic thing stuck my back. That's what they do for people. There was people after surgery going over there. What they needed, that they feel good and feel comfortable and help them out. So if the city subsidized for the health, why not? Why not? I surprised with this big heavy building, for 1.6 million. There is 4 employees in there, or 3. Winter day is nobody in there. What the heck needed? You know, it's winter, is nobody in there. You know, it's even close. It's only summer, the sport running, and with a handful of people. So that have no any sense that spend 1.6 million. They have in 1 little room and they've been operating. Building would work $60,000 and been operating fine. And now want 1.6 million castle.
Well, they're going to a 2,000 square foot building.
This is what I'm saying. They want castle now. They want jacuzzis inside the building probably. There's 4 people operating on a pure mountain summer. That's here. You know, that is ridiculous. And one more thing, the city right now, I was really surprised. I live in here for 37 years. And these roads in springtime been really screwed up, and the grading those roads when they wet and stuff. Somehow, they're doing the job before the freeze up in nighttime when everybody's sleeping. Evening time is kind of messy. In morning, you get up, it's perfect shape. So they're doing a good job with those main roads, and I'm happy with that.
Okay, Cesare, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good day.
Bye. Okay, Sophie, good morning, Sophie. Hello. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everything upriver?
Everything is okay.
You doing good?
Pardon?
You doing good?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, what's on your mind?
On my mind, there is, us people are the ones that voted for the council members that run for the city or tourism council.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's always whining about councils, city or TC. And none of us, there's not even 10 public people when they have city or tourism council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And we whine about what the council does. Why don't we, work together and go to their council meeting and help our council members?
Yeah, that's one way of putting it.
Yeah. everywhere, every village, everywhere you go, there's never one person that never whine about
something.
How come I never go to meeting? How come I never go help the councils make decisions for us?
Uh-huh.
Even though we're not council members,
mm-hmm.
we're the whole village or city or whatever, where, mm-hmm. where you come from.
Yeah.
It's our fault as public
voters.
It's our fault that we never go to meetings and complain about what we have to bark about.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I wanted to say, where are you people, village people? How many of you go to the school and talk to your students, high school kids, of what they want to be when they graduate from high school or college? How many of us go to the school and ask our kids to make your dreams come true of what you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it now so that you'll have a plan ahead of time, and let them know that college is not free.
Yeah.
You have to pay for it.
Yep.
And the other thing, you know, on YouTube you hear about everything is getting cut, like food stamps, LIHEAP, grants. What are we going to do when the president cut off all our, you know, what we get from all the grants that we're getting? Everything we get is, we didn't grow up on money.
Yep.
Our parents didn't grow up on money.
Yeah.
Let's learn how to do stuff ourselves, not only council members, but help, go to the meeting and talk.
Yep.
Don't talk behind their back. Okay, that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank.
I think we have time for a couple more, maybe. Yes, no? Helen? Good morning, Helen. Hello? Good morning.
Good morning.
I got one more caller after you. Can you make it short and sweet, please?
Yeah, I'll make it short and sweet. I've been doing climate change, and one of the things we need to do in the winter is a lot of snow machines and pickups go over our tundra, and that's what we pick up when we pick up trash. When we don't leave trash in the tundra, we get lots of berries. Anyway, Anyway, municipalities need to write, unite, and, you know, write petition, you know, address these issues, and then us special people can do a petition for alcohol measures for our community that's not being addressed by our city or municipality of Bethel. And anyway, that's all I have, but I wanted to say, the famous Indian actor said, persevere to endeavor, and endeavor to persevere. Saknakpakukwani sokhlutayasta, sokhlutaslukukayakhtukluta, the actor, famous Indian actor, he was anonymous, he wanted to be anonymous to write that. Doi Joaquin, and everybody have a good day.
Okay, thank you. We're going to take one more caller. Good morning, Tom. You're the last caller.
Hi there. All right. Just make it real quick. We've got the Trilson Spring Dividend that's coming out next week. So you've got direct deposit. Look for that next week. And then the enrollment team is traveling to several villages again next week. Pecos, McCoya, Kalskag, St. Mary's, and Tunt. And you can get all that information right on our website, trilistacorp.com.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Again, this has been another edition of Friday Morning Talk Line. I'd like to thank everyone that called. If you're going to go out, have a plan. Be safe. Don't drink and drive. And it's Friday. Enjoy your weekend.